2.0. If you didn't get a blessing this morning, it's your fault. That's all I know to tell you. But tonight, if you don't get a blessing, it might be my fault. It's hard to say. The night's young. But I'm sorry that you can't hear me, brother. They'll have to work on that. Anyway, I'm glad you're here. Welcome to Youth Service 2.0. And Brother Don, if you don't mind, open us up in a word of prayer, and we're going to get started.
Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the opportunity we have to just meet here tonight. It's your family, Lord. I thank you for this church family, what it means to my wife and I, and our family. Lord, we just ask that you would just speak to Brother CJ to each heart tonight, Lord. As we sing, as we hear the message, pray, Lord, that everything will be done for your glory. And pray that when we leave here tonight, we'll have a message that we can apply to our lives.
I speak the name of Jesus over you. In your hurting, in your sorrow, I will ask my God to move. I speak the name 'cause it's all that I can do. In desperation, I'll seek heaven and pray this for you. I'll pray for your healing, that circumstances would change. I pray that the fear inside would flee in Jesus' name. I pray that a breakthrough would happen today. I pray miracles over your life in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. I speak the name of all authority, declaring blessings, every promise he is faithful to keep. I speak the name no grave could ever hold. He is greater, he is stronger, he's the God of possible. I pray for your healing, that circumstances will change. I pray that the fear inside would flee in Jesus' name. I pray that a breakthrough would happen today. I pray miracles over your life in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. The power of
Could the ushers please come down? Once again, the church would like to thank everyone who was here yesterday to help with the support for the yard sale. It was a great day, and the money was raised for the upstairs hallways. Please remember our trunk or treat next Sunday evening at 5 p.m. Sign up to decorate your trunk. Candy donations would be really appreciated. Please bring individually wrapped candies and treats. Our church Thanksgiving dinner is confirmed for Sunday evening, November 19th at 5 p.m. Sign-up sheets will be placed down front after next Sunday. And please take a bulletin to stay on top of our church announcements and prayer requests. Brother Allen, could you please pray?
In and out of situations, that tug of war at me. All day long I struggle for the answers that I need. But then I come to his presence, and all my questions become clear, and for that sacred moment, no doubt can interfere. through his love the Lord provided a place for us to rest, a place to find the answers in the hours of distress. Now there's never any reason for you to give up and despair. Just slip away and breathe his name. Surely meet you there in the presence of Jehovah, God Almighty, Prince of
some real unsung heroes at Calvary. And we got David, too. You can't win them all. You can't not win them. It definitely keeps me humble, no doubt about it. If you've got your Bible, we're going to be in 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 17, not in any way, shape, or form a new subject matter to our church, but for sure one of my favorites. I have good news, and I have bad news as I get ready my area up here. Good news is, brother, we're not going to be long tonight. The bad news is the reason we're not going to be long tonight. These pants, Amanda must have put them in the dryer too long. She says it's another appliance in our house, the kitchen, something about the refrigerator. I don't think she's right. It's got to be. But these things are so tight. One of you has a high likelihood of losing an eyeball this evening. So I'm going to try to stay back here as best as I can. Now, y'all know I'm ADD. That's probably not going to happen. But I'm going to do the very best I can to stay my happy self right back here. But 1 Samuel chapter 17 is where we're going to be. But I have a question for you. Do we believe what we sing in the church? Or are we just playing church? They sang a song this morning that I've heard a couple hundred times, and I love it. I've heard it on the radio. I think it was the first time they've done it here, at least that I've heard. And part of the song says, the devil's going to try to take me out of that church, but they can't take the church out of me. And I'm going to be honest, I skipped over it the first three times because it's a part of the song that's getting down a little bit. And I was like, yeah, the devil's going to try to take me out of that church. And they're singing in harmony. It was beautiful, so well done, perfectly done, ladies. Great song, excellent, excellent job. But about the second or third time through, I thought, that's a warning. That's a warning. What we're saying is the devil's going to try to take me out of that church. I'm saying, I know he's coming. I know he's coming for me. And then the second part says, but hey, I'm prepared. I've got somebody with me. But my hope is that we'll take that song, we'll take that verse, we'll take that bridge, whatever it is. We've got all these song parts. I don't know what, refrain, I don't know, tag, I don't know, eucalyptus. I'm not sure what part of the song it was. Right, two people are listening in the back. They heard me say, eucalyptus, what you talking about? Anyway, but my hope is that songs that we sing in here will grab a piece of our heart, right? They'll grab a piece of our mind. And that week when we see the devil coming, we'll be prepared. I'm reading a really, really cool book called The Bait of Satan. And the idea is that Satan is like a trapper. He sets traps up for us. And now you and I trap things by going with our credit card down to Walmart and buying it. But people who live out in the woods or perhaps in Peru or other parts of the world, they ain't got that luxury, right? If they're going to eat something, they're going to have to trap it. Well, the same thing is true. Satan seeks just like that to trap us. Right, he knows God's out of reach. But if he can trip us up, if he can keep us from being productive, if he can keep us from doing something for the Lord, then that's a win for him. So he is setting out to trap us. And if we're aware of that, we can look for it. We can look for that. We can be aware of it. That has nothing to do with tonight's sermon, by the way, but I feel like I'm supposed to share that with you. And I'm thankful for that book. I'm thankful for Mr. Carl. Mr. Carl is another unsung hero. We've got a lot of unsung heroes. One of them is our Uncle Brian, who, by the way, I was supposed to tell you during my introduction, but I did not. He's out helping another church this evening, and so I'm thankful that God's blessed talent within our church that sometimes he uses out there to prop up, build, and to do other churches as well. I think that's a huge compliment to us. If God wasn't willing to do that, Brother Don and Miss Carla would be here every week. But instead, he's plucked them from here, and he's using them wildly in Peru, and I'm thankful for that. I almost said Costa Rica. That is not where they are. they're in Peru. I know. I've been there. But anyway, I'm thankful for those unsung heroes. I'm thankful for the another unsung hero is Aunt Marcia, Uncle Snyder's wife. She taught my high school class for a couple of years. God bless her. I may be the reason she no longer teaches high school, Sunday school. But a song came on this week, and it talked about the Lord is my provider, Jehovah Jireh. And I remembered those Sunday mornings sitting in that Sunday school right there of her trying to teach me the names of the Lord. God bless her. It must have been like getting a square peg through a round hole. I mean, it just, bless her heart is all we can say. But each Sunday morning, she tried to pound the names of the Lord into my head. And I'm thankful that years later, gosh, a bunch of years later, like over 20, bless my heart. Might be time to get a pacemaker. I don't know. But anyway, I'm thankful that all those years later, God took those nuggets that she tried to pound in my head, and he reminds me of those to these days. So when a song comes on, says Jehovah Jireh, I remember that's my provider. And I'm thankful for her. I'm thankful for a lot of unsung heroes at Calvary. One of them is Aunt Darlene. Y'all don't know this, but every single youth service you see, if you think I plan it, ha, ha, ha. You think Uncle Brian planned it? He got the sermon down, but he ain't going to know who's singing what. He walks in the door as he's provided a piece of paper that tells him who is singing when, courtesy of Aunt Darlene. Aunt Darlene's an unsung hero around here. Aunt Catherine, do y'all know who strokes a check to get these lights on? Listen, you know what Bill, I was responsible for at our house? Now, y'all can't judge me on this. There's one bill I take care of. It's the trash can. They repoed my trash can last year. I didn't know they would do that. I thought they'd just send me a note and say, hey, man, pay your trash bill. No, they repossessed my trash can. I went out there, and I saw one down at the neighbor's house, and I said, oh, well, it's been windy. It must have blowed it down the hill. So I went and got it. My neighbors called me and said, hey, why you got my trash can? I said, I don't know. I'll bring it back to you. I called Trash Taxi, and they said, we've repoed your trash can. I said, I didn't know. I've never heard of such in my whole life. I got my trash can. Repoed, Brother Harold, that's hilarious. But we have unsung heroes. Aunt Catherine keeps things around here going. I'm so thankful for the unsung heroes. But it was full when they got it, I assure you. I've got four kids, brother. The thing, it's full before the day after they empty it. We need two or three of them out there. But I haven't had the courage to call them and pay it. I've paid it, but I don't have to ask them to bring me another one. I just put it in my pickup truck and take it to the dump now, because once you have your trash repoed, it just, you know, hurts your pride. Hurts your pride to have your trash can repossessed. Anyway, it happens. Life goes on. But if you and I are going to be song heroes, if you will, like David, who we're going to talk about, if we're going to be giant slayers, there's some characteristics that we're going to have to find in ourselves. And there are lots of different ways to study the Bible. That was one of the things that we went over when I was in Bible college like 200 years ago, was you can do a topical study, you can do a character study, you can do a hermeneutical study, you can do an alphabetical study. I mean, you can do a chronological. There's so many ways to look at the Bible. Anyone who tells you it's boring just ain't looking real well. The Bible's very interesting. But as I looked through the life of David, I asked the Lord to point out some characteristics. And I asked you earlier, are we here just to play church? Or are we here to actually do something? My prayer will be, as we go through some of these characteristics that we find in David's life, that God would point something out in your heart and say, this is something I'm calling out of you. This is something I'm looking for in you. This is something that you can be a little better at, right? Uncle Snyder's favorite phrase, other than choices have consequences, he liked that one a lot. But one of his other ones was, good is the enemy of great. It's like, all right, whatever that means. But it's so true. Just because we're good, that can be the enemy of God. God wants to sand us. God wants to perfect us. God wants to help us to be beautiful. Amanda bought a new car yesterday, well, new to us car yesterday, with my money, but she bought it. And it's so nice. But we took it to the car wash this morning, and then, you know, we discovered the cleaner it got, the more nitpicky we got. We're like, what's this about? What's this little nick right here? Well, what's this about? And so as we get some of us older in life, my prayer is that God will not quit working on us. My prayer is that we will never get to a point where we think, oh, I'm good, I've got this thing figured out. My prayer is that God will, for the rest of my life, sand little things in my life. There's some abrasiveness here. You need to fix that. There's this little problem over here. There's this unforgiveness here you didn't think about. There's this unresolved issue back here. You need to sand on that. And my prayer is not that he'll take the problems away, but that he'll continue to sand and to care for me and to do things in me. And that one day perhaps I could be an unsung hero. That one day perhaps I could be an unsung hero of the people in my life. So you are very familiar with the story of David, but we're going to start at the end, right? I love it when movies do that. They show the end scene and then they jump back and they go, okay, here's how we got there, right? Because I'm ADD, you got to cut to the chase with me. You know, you will lose me. I will forget what we're looking for, but if you give me the end, then perhaps I'll remember what we're hunting, and you've got a lot better chance of getting there. But 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 57 says, "And as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand." Boy, that just got exciting. Now listen, I told you I'm ADD. To most of you, that's no shock. Right? I mean, so I have a very literal mind, and so I do believe he literally, well, we know by looking back that he literally has the head of Goliath walking through town celebrating their victory, right? So now we're going to back up and look at how he got there, and I'm going to tell you the story just like I tell it in Sunday school. Just the same as I've told it to Jackson when he was little bitty, the same as I told it to the other three kids, whatever their names are, And I love the story of David because it's so fun, but it's so simple, right? And David was a little boy who took care of his daddy's sheep, right? And if you've ever been in the children's church with me, I'm going to expect you to take part in this, fellas. Y'all know what's going on back there, right? So one day David was taking care of his daddy's sheep, and a lion came out and said, "Roar! I'm going to eat young sheep." Y'all didn't participate, not one of you. That's all right. There's another one coming. You know it. And David said, "I don't think so." And David beat up that lion, right? And that's a true story. And it's like, wow, that's exciting. And then another day, David was taking care of his daddy's sheep, and a bear came out and said, My life matters. I'm going to eat your sheep. And David said, I don't think so. If Charlie was up here, she would have said it with me. Anyway, and we're on YouTube, aren't we? Or Facebook, yeah. This. I do not represent Calvary Baptist Church of Powder Springs, Georgia. Was that all the attorney said to say? No. But that's true. He said, I'm going to eat your sheep. He said, I don't think so. And he beat up the bear. And then one day his brothers got sent off to war, right? And there was this big bad jerk that came to the place and said, I'm going to beat all of you up. And David was at home taking care of his daddy's sheep. And then he got sent out to the field, and he said, hey, guys, what's going on? And they're like, oh, well, there's this big bad jerk out there in the field, and he's gonna beat us up. Now, he didn't say, rawr, I'm going to eat your sheep. But if you wanted to say it there again, it would be okay, but he did not say that. Instead, he said, I'm going to beat up you and all you other Christians. I'm going to jack y'all up, and you are going to be our servants. And David in his heart said, I don't think so. And David beat up the giant, and the Christians won, right? That's how we tell it in Sunday school. That's how we tell it in children's church. That's how we tell it anywhere else I've been asked to go, which is pretty much just children's church and Sunday school and youth service 2.0 a couple times a year. Not too much. Let's not get crazy. But there's so much truth to this, and that's how we got to the scene at the end of this chapter where he's walking through the streets and holding the head of the enemy, and I'm so thankful for that. But some of the characteristics we want to look at in David's life that allowed him to do that. First thing, and again, I do pray that God will find something in your life and say, help me to work on this. I do, because if not, let's just go to the house, right? Dairy Queen first, got to have a burger, and then let's go to the house. But if we're here, why don't we ask God to do something with us? Let's ask God to plant some nuggets in our heart tonight. The first thing is in 1 Samuel 17, verse 26. 1 Samuel 17 and 26. It says, and David spake to the men that stood by him. By the way, they are hiding from the enemy at this point. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth the Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? The first thing he was realistic. Right? You could say realistic. You could say he looked at things through the correct lens. Right? You could say that he had the right perspective or prospective or however you use that word. You could say that he had the mind of God. But the truth is, he said, we're going to put things in their place. We're not going to hide from things that can't hurt us. Right? We're not going to hide from a battle that we already have victory in. We're going to be realistic. We're not. Is it because I'm big, bad, and I can do something? No, 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 no. It's because this uncircumcised Philistine forgot who he came after. By the way, that's like, it's like old school, you know, smack talk right there. I love it. I love it. There's lots of it in this. It's a beautiful thing. But, I mean, I like the WWE Raw Monday night, you know, WCW. If you can't be 7 foot tall, be 7 foot wide, you know, big bad dudes. I love it. I love the smack talk. But anyway, mainly because I've never been 7 foot wide nor tall in my entire life. And so if I can live through it for somebody else for a few minutes, I'm going to. But the very first thing he was absolutely realistic. He said, let's pause, let's quit running from this, and let's remind ourselves that this is not our battle. Y'all running because y'all are scared, but the truth is, this is not our battle. We need to remind ourselves that realistically, this is something we can do. The world would say, rebuilding Calvary Baptist Church, that's too big. Uncle Snyder was too good. Ain't nobody going to be able to fill his shoes. Right? We can't rebuild that. Christianity today in America is dead. You can't rebuild Christianity. It's too far gone. It's been too hurt by the people behind you who did terrible things. But God would say, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Let's do this. Let's build this. This is absolutely something that we can do. Second thing he was is in verses 34 through 36. is that he was unashamed of what God had done for him in private. Verse 34 says, "And David said unto Saul, Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and I smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard." That's a bad dude. I mean, you grabbed a bear by his beard? Come on. That's amazing. I've met some mean dogs in my life, and I've had to smack a few from the back end of a weed eater. I ain't never grabbed one by the jaw and said, "Hey, dog, you sit down." No, I'm fond of my fingers. I'm not getting them anywhere near his mouth. But he said, "Hey, I grabbed that joker by his beard." David's a bad dude. Sorry, ADD. It says, "And I caught him by his beard, and I smote him, and I slew him." He says, "Look, you might not understand that this God I serve, what he's done for me already. This sounds impossible from where you're standing. The situation you're facing, whether it be financial, whether it be health, whether it be work, whether it be relational, whether it be a marriage that the world would say is dead, whatever it might be, you can say to that thing, hey, I know this looks hopeless, but you need to understand what God's already done for me." Right? I love someone who said, you know, the thing you prayed about a year ago that you thought for sure was going to take you out. Right? Getting your trash can repossessed was one of them. I thought, I'll never call trash taxi again so long as I live. But truly, the things you say, God called me to leave my family here and go to Peru. What? But I have limited time here. But we can look that truth in the eye and say, but the God who got me through this. It sounds crazy to you, but you don't understand what God said to me when it was just me and him on my knees or in my prayer chair or in my prayer closet or alone in my car with nothing but tears riding down the road. And it was just me and him. And there wasn't a drug that was going to do. There wasn't a song that was going to do. There wasn't enough of a good time that was going to do. There was nothing. It was over with. But God whispered into my life. But God said, it's going to be okay. But God said, I've got this one. But God said, I have a great plan for you. The world would say there's no hope, right? The world would say it's done with. And you can say to that lie, but you don't know what he's already brought me through, right? And I love that he was unashamed of what God had already brought him through. Next thing is, and if you were hoping there's only three, I hate to disappoint you. There's not. But the third one is that he was true to what he knew. You see, after he had said to them, I'm going to go fight this dude. And they actually came to understand, no, I think he really means it. I really think he's really going to go down there and fight him. Then King Saul said, well, listen. Man, thank you for your sacrifice. Here's my sword. Here's my shield. Here's my armor. You know, Godspeed, buddy. Go get you. You know, smack him on the hiney and send him out there to war. And David said, listen, I appreciate that. But I haven't proved this. Right? You can look right here in verses 38 through 40. It says, and Saul armed David with his armor. He put an helmet of brass upon his head, and he armed him with a coat of mail, and David girded his sword, meaning Saul's sword, upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off, and he took his staff in his hand and chose him five smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And I love that he says, look, I'm honored. I don't know about you, but I like shooting guns. It's fun to me, therapeutic, probably unhealthy, but fun. Definitely too expensive, but it's fun. And there's no greater feeling than being the guy in the gun range that when you shoot your weapon, everybody else goes, "What was that? What is that legal? How big is that thing?" There's no better feeling. I've never had it, but I would imagine there's no better feeling, because when I walk in with my 9mm, they're like, "Oh, that's cute." Like, pew pew. I'm like, "Yeah, but it's also very cheap to shoot." So, but there's no better feeling than, and I can just see the excitement of David going, I get to use the king's sword. I get to shoot the big gun." But he said, I haven't proved that. That's not what God brought me here with. That's not what God trained me with. Right? Can you imagine somebody in the military who's a great marksman with a deer rifle? And they go, "Well, hey, listen, since you're so good with that rifle, why don't you grab that tank and see what you can hit with that?" No, we would never do that, because it's not what we're trained on. And I love that David stuck to that. He said, "This is what I'm trained on. This is what I know. This is what's worked for me." And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with that great shield. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that great sword. Right? He used a bigger one than that here in a little bit. We'll get to that. Stand by. But he wasn't incapable of using a big sword. He wasn't saying big swords don't work. He was just saying that's not what the Lord trained me on. That's not what I trained on with the bear and with the bear and with the lion. He said, "I'm going to have to stick with the tools that God trained me with." And I'm thankful that he's training us. What in your life has he trained you with? There's a lot, right? So if we're going to be, if we're going to be a giant slayer, we're going to have to stick to what we know. The next thing he was is confident. Confident. Verse 37 says, "David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee." He said, "I'm not going just by myself. I'm not fighting this thing alone." 45 through 46 says, "Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest..." And by the way, we said he went out there with just a slingshot, right? I wasn't going to, but we just have to read it. It's just too good to me. Verse 41 says, "And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance." Said he's cute. Right? Fair? Oh, look at him, little fella. You gonna come fight out here? It says, "And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh to the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field." He says, "If you come out here, little fella, I'm trying to warn you. I don't want to kill you, cute little kid. But if you come across that line..." Anybody else ever do that on the playground? "You come across this line right here, I'm gonna knock you out." Well, I did that, and he walked across. I said, "Well, but if you come across this line right here, I'm gonna tear you up." Walked across that one. "Well, if you come across this one back here, I'm going to go get my brother, and he's going to whoop your tail." And my brother was mean. And so that usually, at McEachern, that helped me out of a lot of problems, and I'm thankful for that. But the truth is, that's the same thing Philistine was saying, that Goliath was saying, look, you're a cute kid, I don't want to kill you. But if you come out here, you step into a man's place, son, I'm going to kill you, and I'm going to feed you to the birds out here. I'm going to kill you. And the fowl of the air will eat you. The coyotes, we talk about the coyotes a lot in our neighborhood because it helps get the kids in at the dark time. The coyotes will come out of them woods and they'll eat you up. And I'm thankful that we had, that it's not done there. But in verse 46, he says, verse 45 says, "Then David said to the Philistine, thou comest at me with a spear, with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. Hey, bro, you brought this on yourself. You brought this on yourself, man. I'm telling you, you think you're fighting me, but you got to understand, my big brother's standing behind me, and you're about to cross a line in the sand, and you, it's going to be a problem for you, Mr. Goliath. You, sir, you think you big and bad, but I'm telling you right now, I don't look like a whole lot, but I've got one standing behind me that you've done ticked him off. And it don't take you long of studying God to understand when he gets mad, it don't work out well for a lot of people. You could say he don't play well with others when he's upset, right? He's not afraid to take his marbles and go back to the house. And so he's trying, he just the same as Philistines are talking smack, Goliath is talking smack, David's saying to him, look, man, you don't know what you're getting into. I love it. We're WCW, Monday Night Raw, let's go. Somebody's fixing to get body slammed. And I like our odds because, told you, I'm ADD. We started at the end. We already saw where this thing ends. So let's keep going. Let's look at verse 46. It says, this day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I'll give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, into the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. He says, you think you bad, brother, but you just don't know. And my prayers that confidence would show up in our lives. I told you earlier, the songs and the things we learn in this church can stick with us. We sing a song that says, I'm gonna have a chat. God, go tell the mountain. Don't tell me how big the mountain is. Tell the mountain how big God is. Right? And I've jacked that song all to pieces, which totally ruins my great point about remembering the songs we sing in here during the week. But I hope you'll look past that and understand that that's true. It is true. We sing a song in here that says, don't tell God how big your mountain is. Go tell that mountain how big your God is. And that's exactly what we're seeing is the confidence that comes from that. Where I remember I was going through something not long ago, and that song got me through it. And so I sent a message to Brother Allen in the middle of the day and said, I hope you're having a great week. I'm chatting with a mountain this morning. I'm chatting with a mountain this morning. I'm letting it know just who my God is. And can I tell you what's so cool to me is I've got a unique relationship probably with my father-in-law, which those of you who don't know, that's who Brother Allen is. If anybody's shocked by that, welcome to Calvary. We're glad you're here. But anyway, we get to teach a Sunday school class together, and we've walked each other down some roads and through some valleys and through some marshes that we would not have chose to go. And I'm thankful that the things I've seen in his life that looked like were going to be a real big problem, right? Health things, work things, I mean, just all kinds of things that now when things come up that are new, God allows me to speak to him and say, remember when you thought this was going to take you out? And by the way, that goes both ways. He can say to me, you remember when you thought for sure that this was going to be the end of everything? You remember when you thought for sure that this was going to take you out? And God gives us that confidence. And I hope you'll find a friend like that. I hope God will bless you with a great in-law. And I hope that God will bless you with a Carl Durant. He's the man who painted downstairs and will be painting this hall coming soon. I'm thankful for Carl Durant. He invests in my life. He gets nothing. Nothing from me. That's not true. I held a ladder for him for 10 minutes one time, which was cause for great prayer request on his part. I'm so thankful that I had a short conversation with him months ago and told him something that was in my life that was a problem. And he still calls about once a week and says, hey, God took care of that, didn't he? God took care of that, didn't he? You thought it was hopeless, man. You thought for sure that was going to take you out. But the God who loves you, and I'm thankful for the confidence that comes through that relationship. He, by the way, bought me that book that I was telling you about earlier, and I'm thankful for him. We only have 32 left. How are we doing? Anybody need to stand up, stretch, turn around, you know, high five your neighbor. We're good. We're still awake. All right, we're good. They haven't turned my mic off in the sound room yet, so we must be doing okay. If we run the battery down, we'll take that as God's will for us to close it up and go to right over to Dairy Queen. Last one there's a rotten egg, right? But the next thing he was, and I believe this was a source of his confidence, was sent. I have read this story so many times, but I love that the way God works is that each time you read it, he shows you something new that perhaps you haven't seen before. And again, if you're ADD like I am, that's nearly every single time. But if you look in First Samuel 17, but we're going to look at verse 17. And again, this is the brothers are gone. David's at home taking care of his sheep. It says, and Jesse, who by the way is David's father, said unto David his son, take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000. I would like to have been their captain. I love cheese. ADD, that didn't cost you anything. Take these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. David's minding his own business. He's not trying to get involved with this. And by the way, what a challenge that must have been, because did you know he had already been anointed at this time? He gets anointed in chapter 16. So if I'm David, and there's a lot of reasons I'm not, but if I'm David, and my brothers are going to war, and I know that God's called me to be the next king, I'm in the bushes looking out going, I got to learn some stuff. I got to figure some things out. And I can tell you that's true about me because I've been blessed with, we're going to Cooperstown in, I don't know, some June of next year, I think. And I've been blessed with the honor of sleeping with the kids. They actually have barracks that they stay in as a team, which is really cool. And I was like, that's awesome. Me and Amanda will get a hotel. We'll con someone else into keeping the other children. This is going to be perfect. And then they said, well, we need a dad to stay with the kids in the barracks. It's like, ain't that what the coaches are for? They said, we need a dad to step up and stay with the kids in the barracks. I said, yeah, that's all right. There's 12 kids. The odds are pretty good it's not me. Wrong. I get to stay in the barracks, which is all really good. I'm actually excited about it. It's going to be a really good time. They said, oh, by the way, if you're going to stay in the barracks, you have to be one of the coaches. I was like, well, we already talked about that. And they said, no, we need another one. So if you stay with us, you have to coach first base. So guess who watches every game on TV now going, I don't care about the batter, don't care about the pitcher, don't care about right field, don't care about left out, don't care about bench warmer. I'm watching first base coach. What's he do? And is it important? And can I mess it up? So I'm telling you right now, when I say if I'm David, I'm being nosy. And I'm trying to get in there and find out. And I'm excited. I'm going to go watch and see, hey, does Saul die today? Because I'm next. I get to go next. Saul, you okay? Nose running, Saul? You feeling a little sick? I'm ready. I'm excited. But that's not what God says. God says David was at home in his place. He said, God, I know you have big things for me, and that's great. But right now, I'm going to be protecting these sheep you blessed me with. I'm excited about what's coming down the road. Right? But for now, I'm going to take care of these sheep. And if a lion comes out, I'm going to whoop the snot out of it. Bear comes out of the woods, I'm grabbing its beard. You might not have caught on, but that made an impression on me. But he grabbed that joker by the beard. That's just awesome. But anyway, he had a confidence because he knew that he was sent. He didn't pick this battle. He didn't choose to be nosy. He didn't choose to be in the middle of this, but he knew that he was sent. If you look forward to verse 47, still 1 Samuel 17, 47, I circled these, which seems like a great idea until you're trying to read them. It says, and all the assembly, this is again David talking, he's already... Great things have already happened. So 47 says, in this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth with the sword, excuse, saveth not with the sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give it into our hands. David's focus wasn't on the problem. Do you ever have somebody in your life where you're like, hey, look, we've got a problem. Here's how we're going to face it. And all they want to say, oh, well, that won't work. oh, well, you can't do it that way. Well, no one's ever done it that way before. You can't do that here. That doesn't work. That don't. It's like, look, I've got problems. I've got that. I need solutions. We have that family talk at our house a lot. A lot, a lot. Not with Amanda, of course. She's perfect. But the rest of us, the other five who live in her house, are constantly bringing up problems. I'm going, look, I know the challenges we have. I need some solutions. I actually feel bad because when I was putting in power lines, I didn't really want to do it. You know why? It was hard and hot and sweaty and wet and everything miserable. That's why I quit. I mean, well, that's because God called me to lawn care. No, I quit because it was a miserable job. And I feel bad because I look back sometimes and I go, I wasn't part of the solution at all. I actually called my boss one time and said, I'm sorry. I said, I know there were a lot of days that I was just part of the problem and not part of the solution. But you know why I was? Because I wasn't sent for that. Because God didn't call me to a life of power, production, and distribution. You know, God called me to a life of fatherhood. God called me to a life of husbandmanship. God called me to a life of finding sinners. God called me to a life of something that matters greater than I am. And I said we wouldn't go long, and so far I've lied to you, so I apologize. But there's only 13 left. There's only 13 left. We're doing really good. But the truth is, David didn't focus on the challenges. He focused on the fact that he was sent, and he had a purpose. And I'm so thankful for that. He was responsible. If we look, and we'll blaze through. That's my neighbor calling. I'll have to call him back. Anyway, if we look at verse 20, in 22, we discover that David was responsible. It says, and David rose up early in the morning and left. This is after his dads told him to go check on his brothers. He says, David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. Look at 22. It says, and David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. I'm thankful that he didn't do what I've seen other people do. I actually, in this very parking lot one time, saw a gentleman park his car, get out, and run into the church because he was running late, and he didn't get that thing all the way into park. And it rolled right across the parking lot, right through our kickball game, and upside down into the ditch down there it went. It was hilarious to everyone but him. But the truth is, he wasn't irresponsible. He didn't say, okay, Dad, these sheep are your problem now. I'm out of here. It says he took the time and got a keeper. Right, he took the time, he was responsible. He didn't just hastily go headlong into what he'd been told to do. He made sure that he ended well. I tell my family all the time, we have to end well. We don't. You know why we don't? Because we're just too busy, for one. But if you look at our garage, there's baseball stuff, there's musical equipment, there are, I mean, just everything in the world. There's car parts from cars that we haven't had in 10 years. And that's literal. There's a mirror on one of the shelves. I need to throw it away. But, I mean, things we haven't had in 10 years. Because we don't end well. Because we're going, well, all right, done with that. Got to get to the next thing. And when you have four kids, there's a lot of truth to that, right? But he said, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to end well. Maybe God would call you to end something well. To end something responsibly. And I'm thankful for that. The next thing he was, again, we're going through these a little quicker than I wanted to, but ADD happens. I love that he's real. We've already been to verse 24, but we're going to go back there. So 17 and 24. I don't know why I keep saying 17. That's the only chapter we'll be in. Surprise. But in 24, it says, and all the men of Israel, when they, so this is the Goliath, I keep calling him Philistine, but Goliath has come out and made his challenge. And verse 24 says, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him, and they were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that is come up? Surely to defy Israel has he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich and with great riches, and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to this man that killeth the Philistine? And it's important to me to note that he was real. David was a hero, but David was hiding too. It says that all the men ran. And then then he said he talks to the ones who were among him. David was also hiding. Now, David's our hero. We love David, but David was real too. And you know what I love about that? Is that when I find myself hiding, when I find myself having fallen, when I find myself having let God down, which I heard a song this week that said, how can I let God down? I was never holding him up. That song came at the right time for me, brother. That song came at the right time for me. And I'm thankful that when we find ourselves hiding, when we find ourselves having failed to stand, when we find ourselves, whether it's something great or something small, when we find ourselves having let people down, that we can still stand up and say, whoa, whoa, whoa. Let's go back to point number one and let's put this thing in check. Let's be realistic, right? Let's make sure that we put the right lens on. Let's make sure we look at this thing from the right perspective. Let's make sure we correct this real quick, real fast, and in a hurry. I'm thankful for that because I don't know about you, but I find myself in that position more than I'm all right with. And then the last one we're going to talk about, if you want to come on down, brother, or whomever, is he found himself, and I don't like this one, but he found himself criticized. You don't have to be in ministry more than about 30 seconds to understand it will come with some criticism. Right? Some of it constructive, right? Some of it positive, some of it preventative even. But the other 99% of it, you can just throw in the trash can. Right? I love verse 28 through 30. It says, "And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he," that's David, "spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart." I love that word, naughtiness. Anyway, that's ADD. "The naughtiness of thine heart. For thou art come down that thou might see the battle." And David said, "What have I done now? Is there not a cause?" And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David spoke, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. I'm thankful that how we handle criticism is so important. I'm going to be honest with you, that's not my strong suit. Yesterday we were at a band concert, and I'm the logistics guy for our band, COO, Chief Operations Officer. I think the initials are actually FOOL, but that's another story for another day. But that is my job, to make sure everything and everybody gets where it's supposed to be. And so yesterday the band director came up and said, "All of this is supposed to be on the north end of the campus." And I said, "Lewis and Clark, I left my dadgum, where's the word? It was there yesterday. Compass, thank you. I said, I left my compass at home." I didn't handle criticism very well. And she looked at me like, if I could shoot you, I would. And I thought, I'm so sorry, I just made a hind end out of myself. But if we're going to do anything great, it's going to come with some criticism. You know why? Because if what you were doing didn't matter, why bother criticizing? Why would I attack someone that I know has no hope? Right? I'm not going to, like we say, no sense in beating a dead horse. You got to love the South. I don't know who was beating dead horses. Felt like that needed to be a phrase. But if we're going to do something great, if we're going to slay giants in our life, it's going to come with some criticism. How are you handling the criticism in your life? And my question is, as you stand and close your eyes, I hope you'll think over these. Bow your heads. And I hope you'll ask God what you need in your life. Which one of these characteristics could you stand to have a little more of? Maybe you find one that you could say, God, I thank you for that strength you've given me. Are we realistic? Are we unashamed of what he's done for us when nobody else knows? Are we true to what we know? Are we confident in what he's got for us and what he's done for us and what he's said to us? Are we sent? Maybe that's your problem. You say, CJ, this God you talk about, he sounds great, but I don't know him like that. My prayer is that you are saved. If you're not, I hope you'll come down here tonight. We'll help you with that. We will help you with that. Are we responsible with what God's given us? Has God given you a talent that you're holding from him? Has God gifted you in some way that you're not using for him like he hoped you would? Or like he expects us to? Are we real? Right? The old phrase, fake it till you make it, that's not going to work very long. That's not going to work very long. That'll get you to the dance, but you're not going to stay very long. And how are we going to handle criticism? Let me ask you this. Are you critical of other people? When you see somebody trying to do something great for God, are you critical of them or do you support them? Do you find yourself being critical of others? Is that something God's calling you to work on? I'm going to pray and then I'm going to hand it over to Brother Justin. Lord God, we love you. God, we thank you for the life you've given us. You've blessed this man more than I've ever possibly deserved. Lord, you've had a plan for me, and I have let you down again and again. Lord, I don't mean in small ways. I mean in great ways. And God, we just ask you to do something great with us, corporately, individually. Lord, we ask you to do something with us that matters here. In your name I pray. Amen.
Oh, to Jesus I surrender.
Right tonight, please feel free to come.
I will live.
This is while we're here.
Trust.
Start your week off the right way.
His presence.
Come do business with the Lord. Do you have giants in your life? You can overcome those giants. Saying as these are here praying, you come if you need to come now. This is why we're here, to get help, find hope. Don't leave feeling hopeless tonight. As we play softly just for a moment while these are praying, thank you for the message, Brother CJ, bringing us back to David and Goliath. And I was reminded of a quote I heard before. It says, if there's a giant in your life, God must see a David in you. If you're going through a difficult time, why, as Brother Brian preached this morning, Brother CJ shared tonight, there's a reason for that. It's to strengthen you, to graduate you, to mature you. And I'm glad that the Lord sees in us some things that we don't see in ourselves. You remember when the Lord spoke to Gideon? He said, "Thou mighty man of valor." Well, Gideon was, he was threshing wheat in the wine press, and he was isolating himself in fear. Yet the Lord said, "Thou mighty man of valor." The Lord sees some things in you tonight that you may not see in yourself. And I just want to continue to extend the invitation just for a couple more minutes to come to him and give him your worries, your concerns, your cares. I want to read this verse briefly, Psalm 144, verse number 1. "Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight." I kept thinking about this verse as Brother CJ was preaching, how that God is in the teaching business. You may think it's a coincidence, or you may think it's something that just snuck in your life, but if your life is yielded to Jesus, there is nothing that hasn't come into your life that isn't first filtered through His hands. So that means He is teaching you something. He's teaching me how to fight. He's teaching you how to fight. One more verse I want to share. In Psalm chapter number 18, verse 29, David says, "For by thee I have ran through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall." David here says, "God, you got me through some things and over some things." Same God tonight who's teaching us some things, and the Lord Jesus can get us through. As we extend for just a couple more minutes, a couple more seconds, a minute or two, Brother Allen, if you want to say one more verse, please come if you need to come. We're about to close the service out.
Oh, to Jesus I surrender, Lord, I give myself to
That'll be enough singing. Let me just leave you with this tonight. Please remember Miss Connie Norton, Brother Trail's wife, as she goes for a surgery in the morning or tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock at Cobb. It is an outpatient surgery. He didn't give me any details. It may be heart-related. So remember that. And then also remember Miss Cassie. She goes for a dental surgery outpatient tomorrow. She's having some difficulties tonight. So remember her. And I don't intend to embarrass this young man, but it's good to have my good friend Ben with us tonight and his mother. And me and Ben go way back, don't we, brother? And here we are sitting in church tonight. Who would have ever thought? But so good having you both with us. Please feel free to come back anytime. It's just been a great day today from start to finish. Again, thank you, Brother CJ, tonight. Miss Amanda for the song tonight. All of our young people. Just a tremendous job. Just my cup has been filled tonight. And I'll come back on Wednesday and spill out. How about that? And so, all right, anything else to mention before we close the service? All right, well, if all hearts are clear, we'll be dismissed in a word of prayer. And everyone just have a great night and a wonderful week. Brother Allen, would you close us out?